Welcome to the David Bowie's Ghost podcast. My name is Jen.
And I'm Daniel. And on this podcast, we explore the mystical realms of channeling through Jen and I's experiences communing with the other side.
As well as our shared love of music, art, and the sacred connection between creativity and healing.
If you like what you hear, please join our community on Patreon to gain access to the various offerings we are guided to share.
We invite you to be our companions on this ride as we embrace our own strange design.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Daniel.
Well, here we are, back again for another episode. Both of us just feeling into this space, still uncovering and discovering in real time what it's all meant to be, having an exciting and wide-ranging conversation right before we hit record about all that's been emerging in each of our experiences and still learning about each other, about ourselves, and what this project is and how it's meant to serve. I feel we're both clear and in alignment about one fact, which is that we don't know and that we're showing up here not to have pre-planned conversations, but to hit record and trust that what does unfold between us will be of the light, will be collaborative, will be open, and ultimately of service. And we agreed to eschew any need for prompts for this episode and trust that what's meant to come through will. So I'll just turn it to you, Jen, and see what you're guided to say.
Thank you, Daniel. Well, let's see. I feel like this last week, just after recording that first podcast, I've become a little bit clearer. I feel like I just needed to get that out of the way. And I have been really meditating every morning for a few hours. And I feel like I am much clearer. I am, whatever information I'm downloading, I am just, it's coming through me much clearer. And it's a lot of information. And one of the things that Daniel and I spoke about before we started the podcast was when this information is coming in, it really can look different day to day. And I think one of the lessons that I took out of what we were discussing was it's okay to sort of change how you view these stories coming in and allow them to change and turn into something else. And that sometimes we have, I believe, different spirits talking to us, giving us different information. So maybe it will always sound different, or maybe it will all unravel and make sense to us one day.
That's really such an important discovery, I think, we're uncovering in our relationship as we share the different information that comes through each of us, because it looks different, it sounds different, we use different language, and so does everyone else. And regardless if you are open to or interested in the spirit realm, you have your own stories. You have your own stories about how the world works, about your beliefs of yourself, others in the world, and maybe it's about very earthly topics or very transactional topics, but it's the same kind of process in how do you know what you hear is true? How do you know what you believe is true? And in the area of channeling, when you start to get strong messages in ways that feel quite different from your more familiar thinking voice, your more familiar thinking mind, it is quite valuable to practice that sense of openness and flexibility, not needing to immediately prove or disprove what you hear, because it changes, just like it changes, just like our ideas about the world change as we grow. We have certain ideas when we're 5 that change when we're 25, that change when we're 45, and so on and so on. And the same is true for information we may be receiving about the so-called spirit realm, at least what I would call the spirit realm. And it leads to a greater sense of ease and grace and true collaboration to show up and to trust in your own experience, in your own truth, which is changing and ever evolving, while allowing space for others to have their truth and their ever evolving listening and witnessing experience. And this can really apply on all spectrums of life, because this is how we're able to have conversations about things like politics or money or things that, or sex or things that might be taboo. In this case, for Jen and I, it's about the experience of channeling non-physical entities and what we would consider the spirit realm. But the same sort of rules or values can apply in terms of honoring what is true for us while allowing space for the other. And I think as Jen and I's relationship evolves and unfolds, it can be a model for how others can begin to unfold their truth.
Yeah, and having somebody else to talk to and share these experiences, I mean, has been so helpful to me. And something else that I'm sort of learning right now is, and we might have actually talked about this last week, it was sort of deprogramming and separating, you know, our spirit and our mind a little bit and shutting our mind down. Did we talk about this last week, Daniel?
We talked a little bit about it, and I think mm-hmm. that the idea of maybe noticing what the thinking mind, or what I would call the ego mind, is saying, noticing it, what it's grasping for, its attempts to make sense of things, to figure it all out, and maybe recognizing that that's not the only part of us, and that that part can be. Maybe not shut down completely or disavowed, because it is a part of us, but mm-hmm. but quieted or appeased, maybe is a good word. It can be appeased like a toddler. It can be like, okay, I hear you crying. I hear this is what you want. This isn't necessarily how it's going to go. We're not necessarily going to get all the details, and this isn't necessarily going to be the ultimate truth that we hold. But maybe learning that that's one part, and there can be other parts as we, as a greater awareness expands and allows more flexibility for our experience.
I've been feeling more clear, and I did see some live music this weekend. I went and I saw Billy Strings, and that was a great experience. I really felt a very deep connection with this band. And I actually feel like, I mean, it's not Phish. Phish is the band that I've felt the deepest connection to. But I was very moved at this. I saw two Billy Strings shows. And as I was there, I also had the same realization after this clearing session with you that I just felt so much clearer in that space. It's that same spiritual space. And there was some plant medicine involved, but I could see that I was sort of a clearer vessel, and I'm ready for my next clearing session.
Yeah. So we were just talking about Jen receiving a little more pranic healing because so Yeah, it sounds like from that experience, and I'm guessing it was psilocybin was the plant medicine.
It was.
And I think, so you're just noticing what experiences support your practice, support mm-hmm. you tuning in, providing you with that alignment. And it's like collecting information or data on where you're guided to go and sort of experimenting with what happens as a result. You're building a toolkit mm-hmm. And having experiences such as energy healing or plant medicine experiences or just live music in itself, and noticing and feeling your way into what experiences support that spiritual cord and connection and what don't as much. And for me, my life has unfolded as such in a way that shows me I want to go toward experiences that strengthen that cord for me and also light me up and are pleasurable and fun and exciting. And where there is choice or discernment, reduce the experiences that I don't feel as connected. And of course, that's not to say I avoid all of the experiences where I don't feel as connected to source, but I think we get to choose as we see ourselves as creators, as we see ourselves as creating our life in real time. We can certainly learn the lessons, learn from the medicine of experiences that don't light us up, that don't feel like we are strongly aligned, and then come back to taking care of ourselves and going toward the things that do. So ultimately, we are feeling closer and closer to that alignment and closer to that integration of how we want to feel and live and connect in this life.
I mean, I'm definitely most connected when I am seeing live music, for sure. That is the time where I feel like I really am just this open vessel. And it's not with all live music, but certainly with Phish. And those are the times for me where I'm actually able to communicate with other musician spirits and family members. And there's definitely something in the music that draws it out of me. And lately I've been feeling like this music has always sort of been part of me, whether let's say I existed before and maybe we all come from heaven. Maybe that's an idea to explore. And maybe there are, there's music up there and maybe we're all sent back down here. I don't know. There's something that the music takes me back to home, wherever home is, or wherever we come from, wherever we're going. But certainly with Phish, it is the song My Soul Understood. And yeah, I was happy to hear that again this weekend and to feel that connection with a different band.
And so it sounds like what we might be exploring is what helps us feel connected to home, however we might define that. For you, Jen, that language of heaven and that sense of coming from a place like that through the medium of music, reconnecting with that source, it seems like we might all be able to find these spaces or the mediums or the experiences that help us connect with that sense of home, or whatever word or language would resonate. Because, you know, certainly we all come from, we're born into physical places, but a lot of those places don't necessarily feel like home. A lot of those places were not super fun places to be or to grow up. And for some, they were. I can speak for myself and say, I love my family, but I wasn't a super happy kid, and I never felt super connected in the ways that I can now. I had a lot of aloneness, even though I knew I was loved. I didn't necessarily feel love. I didn't necessarily feel connected to a home inside me. So in my own development, finding places within myself as well as outside myself that connect me to something like home, not necessarily a physical space, but a feeling of home, possibly a place that my higher self, or what I might call my soul, comes from or knows eternally. And maybe that is a universal, or can be a universal practice for all of us as we explore what feels like home for us. And that can be, maybe we find that in another person, maybe we find that in certain kinds of music, maybe we do find that in physical places or landscapes, or maybe we just find that in meditation. But it does seem valuable that we each get to explore and identify with what home is and feels like to us.
This is actually something I was writing about recently with one of my paintings. And I think I came to the conclusion that that home is love, and that's where, you know, the place that we're all trying to get back to. And I think when I say heaven, and I was saying this earlier to Daniel, heaven isn't really a place that I thought about, or even thought that people go to until recently. And again, that might change over time. It's just this new sort of information that I've been receiving, that, you know, heaven is this place that we do actually go to. And so maybe I'm seeing this space, this heavenly space, as love, and maybe I'm seeing it now because I don't know if I need to add an image to it. But it's just something that I see, or maybe a place that I know, or I believe other spirits, to exist now. But whatever that home is, I definitely carry a piece of it with me, and, I'm able to find it within myself.
And it sounds like we're continuing to unpack what the idea of home or heaven can mean, not necessarily as physical space, but as feeling, or in my own language, what I might say as vibrational frequency or resonance, that on one level, all of reality may exist in, not in physical spaces, but in vibrational frequencies or resonances. And at a certain frequency, we may feel in connection with that sense of home or heaven, and that we may call that frequency love, or it may be nameless, but we may be able to identify it in feeling. And from that perspective, maybe it's not necessarily a place we have to wait to go when we die, but it's a place we can tap into even in the human form, maybe not as fully and clearly as one might be able to as a spirit. But if it is a resonance and a frequency, then maybe we can practice embodying it now. And that's something that I think about when we talk about places that we go, I sense that it's not necessarily so much like getting on a plane and flying to another country, but entering a different frequency or resonance within oneself that allows us to access a state of being. And in the human form, certainly that can influence our perspective, influence the way we see ourselves, others, and the world, influence the kinds of feelings and ideas and thoughts that come into our mind, and allow us different degrees of openness and access to all that we're meant to be or all that we desire to be.
Well, I believe we can absolutely tap into that. I don't have like a formula on how to do it, but a recent experience when I was at one of the fish shows in Berkeley, I believe that night I was able to channel Jimi Hendrix's spirit. I think it was the second night. And two nights in a row, I'd actually let a spirit come into my body. And it was completely different from any other type of channeling I had done. I could actually feel the weight of him going into my body. I could feel him spreading out into my toes. I stood the way that he stood, and he spoke to me. And one of the feelings and images that he was able to show me was how he felt in this other place where they are existing, where these spirits are existing. And it felt warm. It felt, did I talk about this last time? Do we remember?
Maybe to a degree, but probably not to this extent.
Okay. Well, it felt warm and there was a color. It was gold and orange and yellow, and everything was swirling around me. It felt like ecstasy, basically. And I'd never felt anything quite like it before, but that was what he was saying you felt like when you were a spirit or on the other side. It was that you felt no pain, and it was, you know, the opposite of pain. Yeah, it was just like this swirling light. And that's the only experience I have with that.
And I will say, for me, I haven't necessarily had those kinds of experiences because, as I may have mentioned this last time, but as Jen and I have spoken to, a lot of my channeling experiences haven't really been with people who, or entities that have been human before, people who have crossed over, so to speak. I mostly have received guidance from what I would consider to be ET beings or archangels or other kinds of collective consciousnesses that have just, I've experienced differently. But what I can say about Jen's experience is that it resonates for me in the frame that I've come to see, at least at this point in time, which is that Earth is really a school of hard knocks, and Earth is not a particularly easy place to incarnate or be born into. It's hard. It's traumatizing for many reasons. And yet there's a lot of growth. And the point of this planet is to grow. Change is the one inevitability. And so it's interesting to hear of that realm that Jen speaks of, which I've heard others speak to, which seems to be a more stable kind of experience, an experience of what we might call bliss. And yet, I wonder if for those that are coming through to you, Jen, there might be a sense for them that connecting with you is pretty cool because they get to experience what it's like to be that innate sense of humanness, which is about change and growth. Whereas, I mean, I wouldn't mind being in ecstasy all the time. That sounds pretty cool to me. But I also sense that, and at least what I've heard is that coming to Earth is still a privilege because of that opportunity to grow in the way that feels, in the way that is uniquely human.
Yeah, I mean, every spirit that has ever visited me has always said thank you. They like where they are, but they are also thrilled to be able to see this human experience again. And yeah, Jimi Hendrix thought it was pretty cool. And he was very grateful to be there. And the message really was to enjoy here while we're here. Because, you know, where we're going, it's going to be quite different. And yeah, I do think that where we are living on Earth, it is a difficult place. And I'm also starting to believe that it actually might be what I believe is the top layer of hell. And yeah, that we are here to learn different lessons. And if we get through life being kind and loving, and that we, you know, go through this lifetime doing the best that we really can, that we then go on, and that there is sort of this stairway to heaven, and there's a path there. And I believe that right this moment, I'm being sent information about this stairway and how to get there. And yeah, so whether or not any of that is true, I'm not sure. But it's just something that I'm exploring right now.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this podcast is a space for Jen and I to explore our truths and the messaging and language that comes through each of us. And that's the language that comes to her. That's not necessarily the language I would use. You know, I like to play with frames. So like, if I were to even use that language, I might say, maybe we're sitting at the bottom of heaven. Right? Saying it that way to me has a different feeling because I choose not to live from what may be interpreted as a fear-based perspective or instilling fear. And so I don't see as much of a need for that language, but it's not so much the point to get exactly what language is true, because no language is true. Language is all an approximation. But it's about honoring each of our stories and seeing how we can collaborate in a way that resonates.
Yeah, and I also wonder, because you said fear. I feel like the reason I'm being fed this information in such a way is sort of to instill fear. Fear that maybe we are in this place that someone is telling me is hell. And maybe it's not. Maybe they just want us to know that there are other levels that are higher up, and that maybe there are people that want us up there, and they don't want us to get stuck here. And maybe it's not hell. Maybe it's just another level. But yeah, I'm not sure. And I'm not sure, again, why I'm using this exact language.
Yeah, and I think, right, like for me, I just see different dimensional planes and don't feel the need to attribute certain kinds of language. But I think, yeah, like I also know that Jen has been hearing from different guides as I have. And from my experience, different guides have different tones, different styles, different ways of communicating. Some feel strong, some feel heavy, some feel serious, some feel light and fun. And for me, I think for both Jen and I, it's a process of discerning what language works for us. What's the language that fits our resonance, our frequency? And for everyone out there to do the same, because just because a message or information comes from the spirit realm doesn't make it absolutely true. It may be useful, it may be guidance, but it may still be framed from the perspective of that entity, which always, I think, lends itself to a little bit of play and experimentation, even to the degree that I might interpret these places, so to speak. Certainly, planet Earth is a place, a physical realm. But also, like we were saying before, journeying between, let's use the language of heaven and hell, can be an inner experience. I have certainly felt like I've been in an inner place I would describe as hell, and an inner place I might describe as heavenly. So I think there's a lot of room to play with this language, and I feel that when we open up space to play, rather than, say, a more fundamentalist religious perspective, which would say, no, these places are absolutely true, and if you do this, you'll go here, and if you do this, you'll go here, we can maybe play a bit more with the form of what these places, so to speak, places could potentially mean, or what they could be alluding to, or what they could be pointing to, which I think allows a little more freedom within the language or messaging itself.
Yeah, and I actually like that, because it does feel more open, and absolutely there's more room to experiment and to see what else is out there. I do feel a little limited with just this idea of, you know, heaven or hell or staying here. So I was excited to hear a little bit more about Daniel's experience and the other places he's seeing, because then I can start to meditate on that and see if I can actually connect to those other spaces. It's really expanding my mind and opening me up to other ideas. Whether or not I will connect to those places, I have no idea. But as an artist and as a creator, I like the idea of there being these other spaces and these other opportunities to see or hear something different. And again, that's why these conversations between us, I believe, are important, because we can, again, learn from each other, and there isn't necessarily a right or a wrong.
I think it's vital, and I think us being able to openly and flexibly and from a place of love and compassion and excitement explore these realms with each other is what truly allows us to grow, not setting such clear rules around what language we're allowed to use, what language we're not allowed to use, but welcoming in all forms, all perspectives, seeing what resonates with each of our truths, what we might say or see a little differently, but allowing it to be, because that's the true gift of a safe space, as far as I'm concerned. And Jen and I were discussing a bit of the way that I see it. And yeah, for me, it's less about spaces at all, because when I hear or connect or tune in, I'm not necessarily seeing anything physical. I'm more hearing and feeling. So for me, it's more natural to use words like frequency and resonance, because it's much more about how it's feeling, and it's almost like hearing and feeling become merged into one sense. And it's much more about how it sounds to me. Sometimes it's like an entity, a guide, a spirit will be sort of locational, like almost like over my head, whether it's like true north or a bit to the left or a bit to the right. Sometimes that's how I know, and sometimes they feel closer or feel further away. So in that sense, it could be in a dimension of space, but I don't really see so much in terms of places as much as I just hear and feel the guidance. Sometimes they're very close to me, as if they are in my body, as if I am channeling in that strictest sense. Other times it's a different kind of conversation. And sometimes I get names, sometimes the guidance names itself. Sometimes it feels more like it's my own intuitive guidance based on my own nervous system, which certainly still has a connection to source as well, or what I might call a higher self or soul. And other times it feels very different, like it is certainly not what I would call me. But those are just more of the aspects of my experience that I've played with. So this is how we begin to merge stories and experiences and take what fits for us and leave the rest. I'll also say that from my experience, similar to those who have read the Celestine Prophecy, it's like as we move through the world, the universe invites different people, places, and things into our experience. And those people, places, and things maybe have a certain nugget of wisdom that just opens us up to something and maybe points us in a particular direction. And I came into Jen's life and she came into mine for us to sort of open each of us up to potentially different aspects of our journey. And that's what has continued to unfold, not to strictly adopt the other person's frame, but to see what nuggets we may be meant to take from the other's experience and ride with it and maybe point us in the next stage of our journey of expansion.
I feel like we're going to find out when we go see some live music together. I really feel like something will reveal itself there. Just about us. That was just something that just came to me. Just to talk a little bit about spirits and people naming themselves. I don't always know who's speaking to me. Sometimes, sure, I think parts of it, it's like a collection of people speaking to me. I feel like at moments I know exactly who they are. Sometimes they don't have to announce themselves. Sometimes they do. The only, again, two times that anyone has actually been, a spirit has been in my body, I knew exactly who they were, and we had a full-on conversation. I think, Daniel, I think we're going to find out when we go see a show together, is just what I'm feeling.
That certainly resonates with me. I mean, that is a realm that we both have had our own experiences. You have had very strong experiences, and I have had my own experiences with music. And really, dating back to when I was a kid, music was, before I had any other spiritual tools, music was something that aligned me with what I would call a vibrational frequency and a resonance. It always filled me up. It always connected me to a very creative, really just what I would call spiritual part of myself and quality that I had not accessed any other place, because I struggled a lot as a kid. I was really inundated with a lot of difficult beliefs and emotions and things playing out in my circumstances that weren't super fun for me. So music was immediately that place, and as we're talking to connecting to that place that we feel home, music certainly always lit me up. It just lit up my soul, lit up my spirit. And I have pursued that in many ways. And when I was younger, I pursued that in ways that weren't super healthy, as I was still obsessed with the band Phish, but I was doing it in a variety of ways that weren't really respecting my mind and body. And I also didn't have any other tools. But now, as I've cleaned up a bit and things that I put into my body, I do very intentionally, I have still... That love of Phish has and other music has remained, and in some ways is stronger than ever. And I do consider those experiences spiritual, and I trust that when we do see some music together, Jen, we will no doubt be tapping into something of a spiritual essence. And who knows what will happen, but I trust that whatever does happen, we will come back together and report on it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm excited to see what that's going to look like. And a little nervous. Oh my goodness. Well, I definitely look forward to that. And yeah, I think just to kind of talk about what you were saying about intentionally, you know, fueling your body. That's something, Daniel and I connect on as well. I think especially now with the meditation that I've been doing and the channeling, I've become more aware of what is in my body and how clearly I can connect and channel. And certainly for me, I didn't do any research, to be very honest with you. I was just sort of intuitively eating and changing my diet. And I had just cut out, I'd cut out gluten, I'd cut out sugar, and then eventually dairy. And I know that just those things for me, not having them in my body makes me really a clearer vessel channel. And I that's something that Daniel and I both connect on. And before I came over here, I think I texted him something like, eat light. And then I was also getting the message of turmeric. I don't know, but those are the things that I hear, like just little things to like, you know, put in my body or that my body needs. Just it's a different type of fuel now than I needed before. But I definitely eat very intuitively now.
Yeah, and I like that framework of types of fuel because, and also, I think this is a great example of how we navigate our own inner guidance system as well as the outer world. It just so happens that how Jen and I have each been guided to treat our bodies for the most part is pretty aligned with Western science and what Western medicine shows to be useful, such as not consuming a lot of dairy or wheat products containing gluten. Mm-hmm. That was always true for me. I had debilitating gut issues as a kid and stomach aches and things. So it's something that I was practicing early on, and recently I've been practicing not eating meat because I've noticed that that has helped what I would say clean or clear or purify or detoxify the channel. But again, it's not it contrary to how people may respond to Western science. I practice not being too fundamentalist about it. Like my views could change. I actually just experimented with incorporating a little bit of meat into my diet for the past month because it's such a powerful energetic time on the planet and my body needed a little more grounding. Now I've moved back to being more purely plant-based because I do get the sense that in the long run, that is how I'm guided to be. But I sense a large theme for both Jen and I is the flexibility to be open to how the information comes through and how it may change and how, you know, maybe a certain supplement is useful now, but maybe it's not later compared to, let's say, some who may identify with stronger frameworks. Let's say identifying as vegan and saying, this is the way it has to be. This is the way it should be. You know, I tend to be loose with labels, tend to be loose with identities for that reason, because my views may change. I don't necessarily feel I'm holding beliefs or gaining beliefs as much as I'm just listening moment by moment to what sounds true for me now. And it is cool to see when some of that is validated by, let's say, how healthy or good the body feels. But again, it's good to come back to that place of centeredness and humility, which is that this is not necessarily, you know, my path is not a prescription for others. Jen's path is not a prescription mm-hmm. for others, but we're just aligning with people who may align with us because that's fun. It's how you might make connections, how you might build community, while also allowing people to, live out their truth. And if their truth is to eat red meat for every meal of the day and that's working for them, great. I'm not really in the business of convincing or finding a standardized truth. It's more about this process of openness and intuitive listening that can merge or adapt or balance alongside, you know, what appears to be what appears that medicine is learning or science is learning in terms of research, and sort of gently, easily, and gracefully coming to what feels true for you.
Right. And I love that. I think it's about feeling your way through and not getting stuck, and I have to do something one way or another. And being flexible. I think it's so important to be flexible. And to be, just guided intuitively. I was saying to Daniel earlier, I feel like I'm like not even driving my own car anymore. I feel like I'm just going and I'm doing and I have to think a little bit, you know, about some stuff like crossing the street and, everything feels more natural when I'm not overthinking, and feeling, and I can't stress that enough. Everyone needs to start feeling more and thinking less. I just think it's such an important part of life. And that's when I feel like I'm being good to myself. It's when I'm just feeling and walking that path.
And I believe most people would resonate with the idea of feeling in flow, and that whatever that word flow means mm-hmm. to you, it tends to feel good. And I can speak for myself and say that for most of my life, I did not feel in flow. I felt very rigid and constricted. My thinking mind really wanted to know what was right. It really wanted to be right. And it wanted to argue and react to people who seemed to present different truths. And I was and am a very emotional person, although earlier in my life it was much more reactively emotional. So I would really strongly identify with the feelings and then try to project them out or use them to defend what I felt was true, pushing away what other people felt was true. When really emotions can certainly and are an inner guidance system, but not, they don't necessarily have to be used so much to prove what's true. Even within yourself, it can be more about a compass, just guiding you toward what feels good, not necessarily needing to arrive at a particular destination, say, oh, I've got here, this is the truth. But more so a way to be in flow, to keep going toward where you want to be. And for me, it's a very different way of navigating the world, whereas before it was collecting pieces of information that formed my quote-unquote belief system, my political identity, my religious identity, my feeling about this kind of music and feeling about this kind of movie. And I know that I was quite obnoxious. I was quite obnoxious, and people did not really like getting into those kinds of conversations with me because I was very snobby. I was snobby about all kinds of things. And it seemed like for my ego, it was very important to have clear opinions about every subject so I could debate it or argue it and prove people wrong and make them smaller than me and make myself big and right. And these days, it's less about that because that frankly doesn't feel very good. And more about, can I soften? Can I soften into this? I do hear something that feels true for me. Can I allow that to be true for me? And can I allow others to have their path? And can I be of service to people in a way that works for them? And keep trusting my highest authority while staying open and flexible to what comes next. So this may be a good time, Jen, I'll open it up to you, but it seems like maybe this is a natural place for us to close out our second episode. What do you think?
That feels good to me.
The journey continues to unfold, and each of us continues to have experiences that are pushing us even further outside of the bounds of what we thought was true or what we knew about ourselves the day before. And so if you are continuing to experience that for yourselves, you're not alone. And you're welcome to journey with us as we continue to unpack this within ourselves and make space for all of you to do the same. Thanks for tuning in. If you would like to connect, please follow the podcast on Instagram at @DavidBowies_ghost, or follow us individually at @JenKesslerArt and at @DrDaniel_Atkins.
David Bowie's Ghost looks forward to visiting with you again.